says to save people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. I had such an encouraging time to come together and watch the body of Christ, watch the young people rise up, and they're going to spread the word. Amen. They're the next generation. Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you about what is the communion all about? What's the communion about? Many times I see so many people, I don't want to be disrespectful to the table, but I see so many times people come down and get their cracker and they get their juice and they go back and they sit and they eat their cracker and they drink their juice and they're laughing and joking and talking and having a good time. And that's not to say that we're not to be celebrating, but the idea of communion is for us, well, I can't see it right now, but on this table it says do this in of him. Do this in remembrance of him. And sometimes I guess it's just become nonchalant and just sit back and just, well, here we are at communion again. Amen. Am I back on? They got to remind me every now and then to quit using this mic and use the, because I like to talk with my hands a little. Sometimes we just get nonchalant and we take things and we do things for ritualistic causes and thoughts of just, well, here we are again. It's the first of the month and we like to take our communion on the first of the month. So I'm going to go up there and get my cracker and my juice and get me a nice little prayer from somebody. Ooh, they're going to pray for me. Hallelujah. What is it really about? What is the communion totally about? The communion is holy. It's holy unto the Lord. We are to do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Why do you think we need to do it to remember Jesus? You would think that we wouldn't have to be reminded. But in the process of just doing stuff for doing stuff's sakes, some of us just forget. We just going through the motions. We get it and we did it. And we expect our blessings instead of sincerely interceding for your spirit man, for your understanding of where we fall short. And the word tells us to examine ourselves, don't it? We're to examine ourselves. So that's why I said in the beginning and right now, start examining your spirit man, your spiritual weakness, awareness, and don't let another day go by and don't allow yourself to miss the visitation of the Holy Spirit, because he's here this morning and he wants to stir in your heart and bring to remembrance truly what this table is about. It's about knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ did die so that we can have life and eternal life. And a lot of times we just get so caught up in the ritualistic acts of doing stuff that we just put this stuff on the side and we, you know, hey, darling, what you having for what we're having for supper tonight? Where you want to go eat lunch? And we get caught up into all of hey, brother, it's good to see you. Yeah, and instead of truly focusing, I love what Johnson said this morning about only a couple of hours a week have we set aside in our life to come together. Say, come together. To come together. You see, it's not about just your relationship with Jesus. It's about coming together as the body of Christ. We are part of the body. We do need each other. The Bible says it. We have need of each other. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't. And when I say that, I don't mean just coming to church. I mean, don't forsake it. Don't walk away from what God is doing right now in our presence. He's stirring our hearts. He's getting our attention. He's waking us up. Have you not realized and have you not considered and have you not thought and looked around at the world today as so many Christians, they're just playing church. There's a lot of churches today don't even do communion no more. They just like, oh, well, you know, that's, we're going to worship and we're going to praise and that's all good. But come on, he said, don't forsake, don't forget, don't remember what Jesus did. So today, I want to encourage you. Excuse me just a minute. Thank you. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we can have life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10, it says, He who saved us and called us, say, call me, Lord, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You see, because sometimes, again, we can get caught up into this, look what I'm doing for you, God. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about our works, although works without faith is dead. So we got to believe and do. We got to walk with God. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began, but now has been revealed. Oh my goodness, there's a place right there. That word revealed is such an important word. If we will grab onto that, understand that Jesus Christ came to reveal Himself. To God gave us His Son, Jesus, to reveal Himself, to let us understand, say understand, what He's truly doing. The real purpose of salvation is to be the witness. To be a witness, however we can. Whatever we can do, we should be doing. We should be proclaiming. I'll get to that in just a minute. But now has been revealed in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Say the gospel. You see, sometimes we get caught up into this stuff and we don't realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the good news. It is the good. People, aren't you glad you heard the good news? Aren't you glad you got to a point where somebody said something and you went, ding, a light bulb came on, you got it. You said, hey, guess what? I just realized that Jesus Christ died so that I can have life and that I can live in eternity forever with Him in glory. Amen? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Well, shouldn't we be at our best? Shouldn't we be about our Father's business like Jesus said when He was even younger than 20 and starting His ministry? He says, should not we be about our Father's business? And what is our Father's business? But proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, telling somebody. It's amazing this morning how things come together, how many times we've heard this morning about being a witness, reaching out, getting past your boundaries, getting past your, watch this, comfort zone. Oh, well, you know, I'm not good at that. Well, it doesn't ask. It's not about your works. It's about what you can do. There are people that you can, some people are great one-on-one. Some people are great with hundreds of people listening. Some people are good with five. You know, whatever your comfort zone is, that's where we should be ministering. Say ministering. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be out doing what God called us to do. Don't just be a seer, a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Good news. Jesus paid the price to welcome us back into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom. God wants us to reach out and tell other people about the kingdom. The communion is where we fellowship with different members of the body of Christ at different times, but we come together with communion in the body, and we also to commune with the head, Jesus Christ. We're to have commune with Him this morning. It's not about trying to just do, again, I hate to get beat a horse to death, but sometimes we got to hear it a couple of times. It's not about the ritualistic act. We get and just, you know, go through the motions and go get our cracker and juice. And it's the body of Christ and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that it represents. It's to do this as often as you do it in remembrance. Sometimes we got to remember. Sometimes we just get going through the motions. Going through it. Just, okay, yeah, we here, we made it. We got the kids dressed. You know, I didn't have to slap it twice, you know. But we made it. And now I'm here. And okay, whew. And we go through just the emotions, the program, for routines. Thank you. There you go. Routines. We're just going through the routines. And the Lord's saying it's time. In case you haven't noticed it, it's time for the body of Christ to awaken up out of our slumber, awaken up out of our sleep. Realize that God is on the throne and He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it doesn't matter whether or not you do what you think is right. Well, actually, it does. It doesn't matter whether or not you to do what He called us to do, not our own works. That's what I wanted to get to. Not to our own works, but He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got a destiny for each and every one of us. They come together. We call it breaking bread together. And, you know, it's been known that people will come together and eat a dinner or a meal together and solve problems because it lets the walls down when we come together and we just say, you know, we're here just to have a good time, or we just had a fellowship. The Lord says, today I want to have fellowship with you. And we're to have fellowship with one another. And realize it was so cool this morning how many people stood up and spoke and said a few things in prayer before we started. And then also right there, different people. Everybody has a hymn, a psalm, a spiritual psalm, the Word says. Come with it. That's how it's supposed to be, the body of Christ. Somewhere along the line, we've gotten stagnant. We've gotten, you know, comfortable with just coming in and sitting. And it's like, okay, let's do what we got to do. And then, okay, we made it. All right, let's go home. It's done. That's not church. That's not fellowship. That's not coming to celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you know He's a good God? Do you know He loves you? Do you know He's got a word for you today in season? Say in season. I mean, He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need today to get you through. And He also knows what you need to be, what we should be involved with and in. Spreading it, encouraging, lifting up the body of Christ. We are to encourage one another. We are to stir up each other to good works. Amen? Too many of us are just sitting around and just, I made it. I got it. I'm here. Okay, thank you. Let's go home. Paul tells us in the church how Jesus did the communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says it like this. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. I've read this numerous times right before we got ready to do communion. And to me, this was an awakening for me because Paul understood that he received from the Lord. And too many of us, actually, we just don't receive. We come. We go through the motions. We do like Johnson was saying this morning. We didn't prepare. We didn't pray. We didn't find what God's will was for today. We just did what we wanted to do. That was what he said earlier in prayer. But if we came prepared to hear God's voice, and we know that He's prepared a word for you in season, and we're prepared to receive what He's got in the body and in the blood for you today, and you worshiped Him in truth and in spirit, and you separated yourself from all of the stuff that's going on in your life. How many of you got a few things going on? You got stuff going on. But if we'll separate ourselves from all of the stuff that's keeping us entangled, twisted up, not focusing on what the Word is saying to us today. Do you know the Word of God is speaking to us today? Do we hear His voice? Do we see clearly? Do we open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today? He's speaking to each and every one of us every day. But when we come together, we should all the time, but sometimes when we come together, it is encouraging to see your brother in Christ next to you instead of saying, hey, bud, how you doing? What's going on today? Instead of getting into a personal conversation, we get to a place of true worshiping in Him in spirit and in truth, not caring what the other person next to you, if they're dancing, hallelujah, or if they're... You're not going to be caught up in all of that. You're not going to be looking to see what color shoes that woman's got on. What color? Oh, I don't like those pants. It's amazing the distractions that will come if we will allow them. But if you'll close yourself off, separate yourself just into his presence and say, Lord, today I'm here to worship you. I'm not going to care about what's going on all around me, but I'm going to focus on your spirit because I want to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because when we walk in the spirit, how many of you know God's there? Amen. We come into his presence with joyful hearts, with understanding. Watch this. So what I receive from the Lord, that I also deliver to you. What Paul's saying is, I already got this from the Lord. This is, and let me tell you now what he did for me. Have you ever got so excited that God did something for you that you got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me? Man, he helped me drill a well. Hallelujah. Man, he helped me get my car out of the hock or whatever. Man, he helped me fix my... Man, God is so good to me. He has helped me in my health and my flesh. What a mighty God. How many of you have been healed from some stuff? Amen. How many of you know that God has provided what you needed right when you needed it? Amen. Amen. Well, God was getting our attention today. What you receive from the Lord today, you need to deliver to your friends and enemies and neighbors. Watch this. So for he received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed. You ever read that and just wonder, why did they put that in there? On the same night that he was betrayed. My understanding of that is, on the same night that he was betrayed. How many of you have had people betray you, offend you, cause problems that you're mad at? On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he forgave him and said, guess what? We're going to have communion. Oh, I know the rest of the story. You know what? You know, well, let me just give you know the story too. When he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, take, eat, for this is my body, which was broken for many. Do this in remembrance of me. This is what he said. This is what Paul just is telling us, what he said to him. As often as you do this in remembrance. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. Say new covenant. And the reason why I'm saying new covenant, real stopping there, because it's in the blood and it's about forgiveness. Too many of us take communion. You're going to hear about that in just a few minutes. When we're bitter or angry or mad or frustrated or hurt or wounded, and we just, well, I'm still going to go through my religious ritual act and take my communion. How many of you know? Well, we'll get to that in just a little bit too, what happens later. But I'm here to tell you that, you know what? It's not about not taking the communion. It's about learning to forgive. It's about getting past your point of frustration and hurt and wounds and bitterness. It's about getting past. It's about remembering that Jesus did it for you. Do you know he did it for you? Oh my, what a mighty God we serve. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, watch this, here it is. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim it. In what you're doing spiritually, you start realizing it and you start wanting to. You want the changes. You start wanting to let other people know, man, God has been so good to me. And, you know, it's so cool because a lot of people love to do that in church. We in church are with a band. Let me tell you, Jesus, oh, he's so good. He blessed me. He did it. I'm highly favored. Hallelujah. But we won't tell anybody in the world. Because you know what, we might offend them. We might, I don't want them to know I'm a Jesus freak. I don't want them to know that I go to church. I don't want them to know that I'm a Christian. Heaven forbid. It's time. You know, I've said this before. Everybody else is coming out of the closet. So what? So what? We need to. We need to come on out. We need to step on out and start saying, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got to start telling people. What a mighty God we serve. He is awesome. Do this. As often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You start telling people, man, Jesus Christ died. You start, you know, people know it, but they don't know it. But it's time for us to let them know it, that he died for me so that I can have life. The reason why too many people aren't listening to us these days is because too many of us are going, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. And, well, that preacher, he's okay. But the deacons, and they do this, and I can't stand the way they do that. And we complain and let everybody know what we don't like about a church service. Uh-oh. Huh? Tell them what you like. Amen. You know what? I read something one guy told me. Here, read this. What do you think about it? I wrote this. I said, yeah, it's pretty good. I said, I think I like about 90% of it. He wanted to know what 10% I didn't like. I said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, let's agree on the 90%. Amen? Yeah, I mean, you know, we all got opinions. And a lot of times we like to tell other people our opinions. Quit trying to focus on what you think. How about let's just focus on what we agree on and press forward? Do you know that the disciples had disagreements? Have you not read your scripture? Have you not read, well, wait a minute, he said this. Well, what about him? He's going to live forever. Who's going to be the greatest among us, Lord? Oh, did they not have all of these conversations as well as we do? Yeah, but what did Jesus, listen to the answers Jesus said. What is it to you whether I want him to live forever? What is it to you? Do you realize? We get caught up and we consume with all of the things. And Jesus is going, wake up. Say, wake up. Pay attention. Listen. Focus on who Jesus is, what he did for you. Quit looking around to try to find the troubles. I say this 100 times around here. If you're looking for the imperfections, you're going to find them. There's only one perfect. His name was? Jesus. If you're looking for imperfections, you will find them, I guarantee you. All you got to do is follow me for 10 minutes. You will see my imperfections. Don't look for all of that. Find out what God is doing. Yeah, you're supposed to examine, know them by their fruits. I agree with you 100%. But if you're judging, judge not lest ye be judged. In the same manner you judge, ye will be judged. So how much you want to judge me? Go ahead. Because it's coming back on you. I just don't understand why. I'm not talking about me this morning. Let's get off of that. We'll get back on Jesus. Proclaim it. Let everyone know. I serve the risen Savior. I serve the one, the only, Jesus Christ, the true God. Oh, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. No, there's not. I don't know what you've been believing and what you've been listening to, but there's only one way. Amen. How many of you know it's only one way? Communion is about asking, where am I spiritually, Lord? Communion is a time for examining ourselves and saying, Lord, where am I? Where am I? I love Isaiah 6:1 where he says, woe is me, for I am undone. When we come into the presence of the Most High God, then we won't be looking around at everybody else. We'll be going, woe is me, for I am undone. You see? And too many times we get caught up. Communion is about asking God, God, where am I spiritually? Have you ever asked God that? Have you ever just said, Lord, you know, where am I? Examine me. I love what he says in Psalms, where David says, examine me, know my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. Where am I? What do I need to be doing? What do I need to get done in my life? Where do I need to be, Lord? He says, not there. How many of you know he's saying not there right now? He's telling us right now, right, not where you are. There's another level. There's another place. There's another place that I want you to be. I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. I'm bringing you to another level. I want to bring you up a little closer. The word says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. What a mighty word that is. Communion is about asking, where am I? Communion is about asking the Holy Spirit to reveal our spiritual health. How many of you know we need to take our temperature every now and then? You know, I don't know what they do now. I haven't had one. Back when I was a kid, my mama used to have to shake the thermometer like this and stick it in your mouth under your tongue, and you waited 10 minutes. Now they just got... Brr. How many of you know we need to take our temperature? Our spiritual temperature. Where are we? Ooh, Wow, thank you, Jesus. Listen to this. He just revealed this to me. Are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? Ooh, and you know that scripture, so I don't even have to tell you. Are we just lukewarm? Or are we hot? Or are we cold? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. That was a good one. The communion has been called the breaking of bread. The communion has been called the breaking of bread. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Yeah. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be breaking bread with each other. We need to be fellowshipping. Well, I don't need to go to church. I can pray underneath a tree. That's unscriptural. You may have heard a dozen other people say it. I've heard it. Have you heard that? I can just go under a tree and pray. Yeah, you can, and you should. But he also says you need fellowship. You need the body of Christ. Today is communion, and it's communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also communion with the body. Say body. Body of Christ. We should be doing it. We should be gathering together. So what are we doing? Communion's also called the Lord's Supper. You've heard it. 1 Corinthians 11 and chapter 20. Verse 20, I'm sorry. Therefore, when you come together. Not says if. It doesn't say if. It says when, didn't it? Does your Bible say when? When you come together, huh? When you come together in one place, not just all over it. I mean, we are the church united in the whole world. I understand that. But he says that for your local church, when you come together in one place, is it not just to eat the Lord's Supper? Are we to get together and realize that it's the Lord's Supper? It's not ours. That's why he says later on in that scripture, he says, you know, you can eat and drink at home. This is remembering what Jesus, this is the Holy Communion. What is the correlation between the Passover of the Old Testament and the communion of the New Testament? Well, the Passover meal, you all know the story of the Egyptians when they came out of Egypt. They were all delivered from the bondages and all, and the 10 plagues and all that. The last one was as the judgment came upon Israel for the firstborn. And every house was to be, to sacrifice a lamb, thank you, and escape the judgment. Each Israelite family was ordered to do a few things. We see this in Exodus. I got a whole bunch of scriptures there, so I'm just going to tell you. In Exodus 12, 3, and then 6 through 8, it says, every man takes for himself a lamb and kills it. And they take some of the blood and they put it on the doorpost of the lintel of the house, that they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. Also in Exodus 12 and 11, it says this, for the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when they see the blood on the lintel of the two posts on the door, the Lord will pass over and won't send the death angel to that family. God wants us to be, watch this, involved. He wants us to be involved. How many of you know God could have just went, hey, you know what? You ever watch Bewitch or I Dream of Jeannie? You know, God could have just went blink or twinkle, 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 and poof. He could have did that. But he chose to use people. He chose to use us to do things. He says, guess what? I need you to do something. Why do you think he wants us to do something? Because he loves us. He wants us to be a part, say a part of his plan. Not just do something. He don't want to just do something. He wants us to be a part of learning how to live life and do what he's called us to do. They needed to eat the lamb. They needed to apply the blood. Well, today we need to eat the bread and drink the blood and remember what it was about. Now, of course, you know, sometimes people get caught up and they're worried about, you know, Jesus even said this when he was saying, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And some of the disciples got freaked out. Uh-oh. They're getting cannibalized in there. No, we're talking about the symbolic. We're talking about doing something symbolically. We're talking about just remembering what Jesus did. So, yes, we're to eat his flesh and drink his blood, but not cannibalistically. Is it not talking about that? Some of the disciples freaked out and they said, oh, we're getting out of here. And of course, Jesus told the rest of the disciples, he goes, hey, are y'all going to leave too? And if you know what Peter said, he goes, where else do we have to go? I always wondered why he said that. He goes, in other words, if I had someplace else to go, I'd go. That's what I hear when I read that. Maybe not. Anyway, I don't have any place else to go. I don't have anybody else to go to except for my Lord and Savior, because I know what he did for me. Do you know what he did for you? Sometimes I wonder, sometimes when people come to Christ, do they really have a transplant of heart? Do they really, or have they just have had an emotional occurrence? Have you just had an emotional occurrence, or did you decide that day, from that day forth, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what else happened, because I have decided. Have you decided to follow Jesus? And sometimes people can come and play church, and I'm here to tell you, I feel so sorry for the folks that are playing church today, because you're missing a great opportunity. Oh, you think you're getting brownie points because I'm sitting in a church, I made it. I'm here to tell you that God's got something a whole lot more for you. Say, for me. He's got a whole lot more in store for you. It's called relationship. It's called fellowship. I've talked to about 3 or 4 people this week that are very lonely people because they sit home alone and they don't have fellowship. They just, I wish somebody would come and visit me. And nobody ever comes and visits me. Well, get out the house and go visit them. Quit just thinking that it's got to be them coming to you. Amen? You're a part of the body. Get moving. You're lonely? The word says it like this. If you want friends, make yourself friendly. Oh, see, it can always come right back on when we examine ourselves. And that's what we're to be doing this morning, is examine ourselves. Save myself. We need to be examining ourselves. The communion, that was the Passover. Now the communion celebrates a time when the Lord Jesus Christ came for our Passover, as our Passover lamb, the New Testament. He died for our sins. The Passover lamb of the old covenant is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ today. It's a teaching example. He is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. We see this in John chapter 1 and verse 29. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I don't know if you've ever had that experience in your life, but I've had it in mine, where Jesus showed up and he said, guess what, Tyrone? Yeah, that's my name. Tyrone, guess what, Tyrone? I come to take your sins away. And from that day to this, I said, hallelujah. What a mighty God I serve, because I'm no longer burdened by sin and shame, but now I'm delivered and set free and living as a child of the Most High God. Amen? Is it your experience as well? Then start doing it, because today is your day. Say, my day. It's your day if you want it. Or you can just go through the motions and have the same old cracker and juice, and it won't change a thing. Because it depends on your attitude. It depends on your understanding of what's truly happening here. It depends, did I examine myself? Did I prepare myself? Did I ask God, Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in me? Because if you ask that question, how many of you know he's going to show you? And you'll start having to work on yourself instead of working on other people. Ha ha! Woo-hoo! What a great day. God's doing some revelation. He's bringing some understanding. 1 Peter chapter 1. Know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but from the aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers. Sometimes you can just have traditions. Well, that's what we do on the first of the month. We receive communion. And I'm here. And I'm going to take it. And I'm going to, woo-hoo. And it's just a traditional response. To that's what they asked me to do. It's sort of like going to Disney World. Have you ever been to Disney World? You go to Disney World and they tell you, push in, push all the way to the front, please, so make room for everybody to get in. And sometimes that's what we do. We herd it in like calves and we just, okay, it's time to take communion. Push over, get your, okay, got it, get it. Okay, go sit down. And it's not about any kind of a understanding of what you're doing. You're just following the crowd. You're just doing a ritualistic thing. Jesus says, today I want to open your eyes and let you realize that this communion
is done to remember. To remember what he did for you. Say me. For each and every one of us individually. He did it for you. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I realize what he's done for me. I get excited when I know what he's done for me. What he has already done. Not much less what he's going to do. How many of you ready for some more? What he's going to do for you. But what he's already done. He's done enough for me. He saved my life. He saved my soul. He brought health to my body. He brought clarity to my mind somewhat. Some of y'all doubt that, but that's okay. But the precious blood of Jesus as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Why do we eat the bread and drink the juice? Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, the drinking of the cup. Because Jesus did it and he said, let's do it. I've heard this before. Oh, well, I don't have to have communion. I don't need to take communion. Or they say things like this. I don't have to be baptized, you know. I'm here to say, Jesus said to do it. He did it. Why would we not want to? Why would we not want to? Don't understand people that argue scripture and try to say, I don't have to do it that way. Okay, don't. That's my answer. Don't. That's between you and God. I have to answer you like that. You know, that's your choice. You have something called free will. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. Let me move on. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. That's why we do it. He gave us an example, and he said, this is what I want you to do. And, of course, the disciples said, hey, this is what he told me to do, and that's what I'm going to tell you that we should be doing. We find this also in Matthew 26, Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 11, and Mark 14. Here's what it says. And then in Mark 14 and 22, you got that? Did I lose you? I'm flying here. I'm trying to hurry up because I know y'all ready to go eat lunch. And they were eating. Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said to them, take, eat, this is my body. Then they took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant which was shed for many. Why is communion so important for the church today? To remember. Some places, I've said this earlier, some places today are not even doing communion. They just have in church. They don't want to just stop and take a time to remember what Jesus did. All right, I got too much to do and too much material here to share everything with you. And I just want to tell you right now that it's time for us to focus and understand that it's time for us to examine ourselves. Hopefully, I've covered enough of this to let you understand what the communion is truly about. It's about fellowshipping with one another. It's about fellowshipping. Watch this. It's about a vertical fellowship and a horizontal fellowship. Mm-hmm. What does that make? Huh? Can't leave. You can't leave. You can't say that you have love for Jesus and not forgive and love the body of Christ. Too many of us are living with unforgiveness in our hearts. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Have you seen people getting bitter and frustrated? And I mean, you've probably got some folks in your family that's bitter and just won't forgive. And they said, I'll never forgive them. What? Did you not? They obviously have no understanding of Christianity. Because the whole thing of Christianity is learning to forgive and love one another. You can't say to my brother, I have no need of you. We need to love one another. Jesus said it. To love one another. That's how you'll know they're my disciples, for their love for one another. Are we struggling with Christians? Who don't want their sins cleansed? Who don't want their sins cleansed? How often should we have communion in church? Well, of course, in the Old Testament, in the Passover, they did it once a year. But today in the church, we try to do it once a month. But just let me just tell you this. It's not written. It's not a law. It's not a command. We just do it. It says as often as you do it. To me, that makes me think that we should do it pretty often.
So we try to do it once a month here. And let me say this. It's not a rule. It's not a law. It's not. It was sometimes people, well, what about that? Y'all miss communion is for this the first of this month. Well, see, every now and then God has a different plan. Amen. Have you ever known that God, you know, he has a way that's not our way? And it's not about just trying to be ritualistic, but follow God's heart. Amen. I'm going to say one more thing. Can anybody partake of the communion? I'm going to have to tell you straight out, no. If you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't want to take this, because what the Word says is if you take this communion unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to your own soul. So I'm here to tell you, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, then don't partake of this body and blood. But if He is, this is not the communion of the Word of Faith. We say that all the time around here. This is not the communion of Word of Faith Christian Fellowship. It's the communion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing this in remembrance of Him and what He's done. So if it's your Lord and Savior, then this communion is for you. Receive it. But make sure you examine yourself. Make sure your spiritual temperature has been taken. Make sure that you didn't waste this morning and sit there and say, well, I wish you'd hurry up. I already know all this. I just wanted to get your attention this morning to let you understand that this day, God is here. This day, Jesus is here. This day, the Holy Spirit is here, and He's ready to do some work in your life. If you have examined your life and you've checked yourself out, you said, Lord, show me, then you have already prepared yourself to receive communion. Now, if He showed you, go make something right. Don't stop. Don't get home and say, well, that was just an emotional experience. I'm not calling them up. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold on to this for another month. Let it go. Say, let it go.
Let it go.
Would you go back and get the young people? I think they're going to come out and have communion with us. I'm not sure if they set that up in there or not. I changed this up a little bit. So if they're ready to come out, we're ready to partake of our communion this morning. If our ushers and deacons would come on down, we'll get ready to receive communion. If you'll just follow the lead of the ushers, they'll tell you what row you're coming in with. And if you would this morning, when you take the bread and when you take the juice, just commune with the Lord. Commune with the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Lord, tell me. Lord, open my eyes, open my ears. Examine yourself and find out what God has in store for you. Shall we not participate in the Lord's Supper? Shall we not examine ourselves? Shall we not ask and give forgiveness? See, this is what communion is truly about coming together and examine ourselves and forgiving one another and realizing that Jesus died so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. They're going to all greet. You know, if you're visiting and you don't have family here, then just join yourself up to, we're all part of the body of Christ, right? We're all family. So just grab somebody you see that you want to be part of, a brother or a sister with, and come on down with them. If you've visited with us and your family's here, you're the head of your church body. You're the head of your home. You come on down with your family and just take together and allow the Lord to minister to you. Amen, amen, hallelujah. I'm sorry, amongst the confusion, I forgot to tell you, if you will hold on to the commodities at the end, we'll all eat and drink together. Thank you.
As Tyrone was preaching this morning, I had a revelation sitting right there in the pew. I started just bawling, crying, because God spoke to me directly. And he's, you know, one of the things he said to me was, you know, when you're at work, you can stand up and you can talk to a whole crowd of people with whatever you do. You're good at it. But when you're at church and I give you a word and I want you to say something, you freeze up. And I was like, God, I'm so sorry. Why? I don't know why I do that. And the reason is because, you know, and this is on me, you know, I don't study the word like God wants me to. With my job, I'm good at it because I do it all the time and I study it, right? And it's just surreal, and it's awesome how just God works, because I'm sitting right here and Tyrone says, come up here, I want you to do this to me. And I'm like, God, you were just speaking to me. I was bawling, crying right there thinking about this, and just, you know, Tyrone asked me to come up here and do this, and, you know, I'm sitting here talking in front of all y'all right now, and I'm really not nervous about it or anything like that. It's just, it clicks. That's God. I mean, yes. Yeah. It's just, it's just surreal. And God is so surreal, and he's just so awesome, you know, and like Pastor says, like we all say, you know, have an ear to hear. And when you do get that ear to hear, things will fall out the way that they're supposed to. And right now they are. And, so I just wanted to share that with you. So that's just really awesome. So we're going to, this represents the body, Jesus's body. He told us to take it and to eat this, that it is his body, which is broken for us. And we do this in remembrance of him.
And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Shall we drink together?